So many times as we live the Christian walk, we wish we had a chance to try again. We're not the only ones doing that, because you know what? Hurts and mistakes can cause a lot of pain, cause a lot of stress, a lot of breakups. So we thought that the best way to start our message tonight was to start it with the opportunity to win a little prize in a game that I like to call the famous breakups game. All right, here we go. All right, now where's my buddy, Mr. Robert? Come on down, buddy. It's going to be your opportunity. Here's the prizes here, all right? Now, we're going to give those out when you have to figure out who is the first one to put the hand up, okay? You want to go with hand up?
Sure, yeah.
I'm going to read the question to them, so I'm going to be facing this way. So you tell me who the first person was, and then the second and third, all the way on down until we get a right answer. And I know you can do this because you are sharp. You've been up for 24 hours straight, right from China. Yeah, all right. Are you ready for this? Now, these are famous breakups. We're going to do this regular. We're not going to do Jeopardy, so you can state your answer in the form of an answer. Let me have the first one, Eric. This famous comedy team of the 1950s went on to do celebrity roasts, and the other, a yearly telethon after they broke up. Who was first, Mr. Robert?
My buddy Drew Bone.
Let's see if he knows both names here.
Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Bing! Absolutely. And what is he getting, Robert? King-size Reese's, because Reese's didn't break up. They've learned how to live in harmony together, haven't they? The chocolate and the peanut butter, right? These two didn't do so well. Wish they had another chance, a chance to rewind and maybe get it right. But that's what happened. Famous breakup. Let's look at the next question. This friend had her heart broken by this Ocean's 11 star. That's a tough one, Robert. I thought I saw, let's see. Where do we see hands, Robert? All right, Miss Shanda, let's see if you know who this friend is and the co-star of Ocean and the Ocean's 11 star.
Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt.
Let's take a look, Eric. Oh, yeah, there's another winner. Absolutely. Wow, and another Reese's? Was it another Reese's, Miss Shanda? Was it another Reese's? Yeah, all right, living in harmony. Let's try our third one. I sure hope the guy from Washington State wins one, Robert. He came a long way, right? I hope he wins one. Perhaps the greatest rock band of all time, their Hard Day's Night of recording together, lasted from 1962 to 1973. Who was it, Robert?
Right there, backwards hat.
Let's check it out. Oh, there it is, the Beatles. Very good. Yeah, oh, for an opportunity to do it one more time. A lot of hurt going on in that group in the end. It's a shame, but happens. Got to learn how to deal with hurt, as we'll look at tonight. Wish they had another opportunity to try it. Our last question. This TV show comedy team never figured out who was on first. Let's take a look. Eric, next slide. Abbott and Costello, very good. Thank you very much, and thank you for playing the famous breakup game. All right. Well, let's look at our passage tonight. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now remember, our series is dealing with repentance, turning from dysfunction to function. And this is what Paul is addressing here. So let's first, in this passage, let's pull out the dysfunctional pieces that Paul says need to be out of our life. Here we go. He says bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. And we are told six things here that we are to turn from. And a lot of times, gang, as you're reading the Bible, when you get to these two verses at the end of this chapter, you can move kind of quickly right past these two verses. Why? Because Paul has already spoken about a lot of them. He's spoken about rage. He's spoken about anger and how we are to speak. Paul's already talked about that earlier in this chapter. And we covered those here on Saturday night. You can go to the website and watch those. But see, I think Paul is showing us something different here. Instead of looking at these individual actions, Let me show you what this passage looks like when we look at these six words definitions and put them in place and see if Paul is offering us something different, something more than we may have had our hands around before. Paul says that we are to put away, to turn from reactions of anger, settled in resentment, shouting or yelling, speaking bad of someone, ill will, and plans for revenge. You see, gang, if you string all those together, string all those six actions together, you come up with basically the normal default reaction individuals settle into when they've been wronged. Anger at the wrong, which turns to resentment and bitterness. Then ranting about it, spouting off about the perpetrator who did you wrong. And eventually, planning revenge. Paul says this scenario to being hurt, this cycle of dysfunction needs to go. It needs to go in our lives. We have to turn from it. Now, the first thing that Paul is assuming, we all know that we're going to get hurt. Again, we are all going to get wrong. Paul is assuming this, and I am making it more than clear to you now. As sure as Jabba Chamberlain is going to serve up a fastball, you are going to get hurts thrown at you. They're going to come, gang. I talked to someone recently, and they told me they have a best friend. I said, I have a best friend, and my best friend has never let me down. My best friend has never disappointed me. Now, instantly, I knew that this friendship had to be fairly new. Because, I told this person, there's no way your new best friend can carry that kind of load on them. You need to understand right now that your friend will let you down. They will disappoint you, and they'll probably hurt you as well. We are people who make mistakes, and our mistakes are usually at other people's expense. And if, Westbridge, we are to get this issue of repentance right, we need to understand and get under our belts the realization that people are not perfect. And our friends, and our loved ones, and our co-workers, and our leaders will let us down. They will do that unintentionally, and it will hurt you. And sometimes they'll even do it intentionally, and it'll hurt you. I have a friend who I met standing in line to walk into second grade. 2 7-year-old boys looking across the line at one another behind Deerfield School met, and we became fast friends. Friends that haven't been separated since. We have gone through all of our school years together. We watched each other get married without each other's weddings, and we are very, very close friends. There's only one issue that came up later in our life, and that was, I'm a Christian, and my friend's Jewish. And when I gave my life to Christ, I wanted so desperately for my friend Joel to give his life to Christ as well. It never came between us. We were just always good friends. When I started really getting involved in ministry and doing coffee houses, Joel was there. Joel did not know Jesus, hadn't given his life to Christ, but he was there. He was always serving, setting up chairs, trying to make my ministry even better. A lot of people in church said, man, this guy, Joel, has one of the biggest ministries we've ever seen. He was doing more than people who were Christians. And we prayed and prayed and prayed that Joel would get saved. Now one day there was a Billy Graham crusade that came through at the Meadowlands. We took Joel. We got him there. And Joel got saved. And I was thrilled. Not long after that came the day of his baptism, and he was pumped. He was going to get baptized in the hills of Wachung. And so Kelly and I headed to Wachung in the pouring rain out where we lived to get there. Trees were down all over, and to make a long story short, we never made it to that baptism. We couldn't get there. It wasn't raining where Joel was at, and he got baptized. And that hurt him. Hurt him deeply that I wasn't there to witness that. Gang, if we are going to get on the solution side of things, we have to realize hurt happens. And if we understand that fact, it will get us on the solution side. But if we don't get that fact down right, then we will start defaulting to anger at the wrong. We will start to turn to resentment, bitterness, then ranting about it, eventually looking for revenge. So step one on your outline in functional living when it comes to hurt is to take off the rose-colored glasses, Westbridge. Drop the expectation of perfection and realize, expect hurt to happen. Paul knows wrongs and hurts will happen, and he says we must change our default mode. We cannot do the anger, bitterness, ranting, revenge thing. That's not where we're supposed to go with this. So when we're not surprised by hurts and wrongs that come our way, we can get on the solution side, the functional side, the being kind to one another, tender-hearted and forgiving. Step two on this process, Paul tells us, be kind to one another. That's to be gracious, to be pleasant, to show goodness to not the person who hands you a birthday present. Don't be kind, pleasant, and gracious to the person who is your best friend. But he's saying to be kind and pleasant and gracious to the one who wrongs you and hurts you. In this mindset, gang, we will be challenged to act in ways that require us to swim against a very strong current. One of my favorite movies of all time is Gone with the Wind. I love this movie, Gone with the Wind. I saw it first when I was a young boy. It's the story, this story, Gone with the Wind, it's epic. It's a story of a young woman named Scarlett. Scarlett has been pampered and coddled her whole life as a rich girl. She is self-centered, she is spoiled, and she's quite devious. She'll do anything to get what she wants. In her want what she can't have drive, she desires a man named Ashley Wilkes. Unfortunately, for Scarlett that is, Ashley has married Scarlett's angelic cousin, Melanie. But that doesn't stop Scarlett, who wants whatever she wants. Scarlett's selfishness and her sinister conniving to get the man she covets, even though he's married, goes on and on. He goes off to war, and Melanie and Scarlett are thrust together. And Melanie's kindness and friendship overwhelm the entire screen. And the whole time, Scarlett plays her like a harp until ultimately she gets the opportunity to throw herself at Melanie's husband. Only when it happens, it's found out by all. Melanie, the angelic being in the whole thing, is horribly wronged by Scarlett. Melanie, who had trusted Scarlett, treated her like a younger sister, knows what happened. And the two of them are going to meet each other at a party. What will Melanie do? What will she do with this evil, lying, conniving narcissist? Let's see. We'll hardly go down in history as the greatest scene ever. My question is this, to myself is this. Why is it that I could see that movie when I was 15 years old and that scene never leave my mind? I think it's because you don't see that kind of thing every day. Because Melanie, in that moment, is the hero of the movie for me. She is the person that even Scarlett, by the end of the movie, will look up to and praise her. Paul says that you and I, if we are to live functional lives with long-term relationships, we must be kind when wrongs come our way. Now remember, Paul is talking about a mindset here, an attitude. Let me just get this clear. We certainly do need to talk things out with people when hurts come our way and when we're wronged. But that's a slightly different subject here. What Paul is focusing on is our heart's reaction. Our mindset. And Paul says, your heart must be a heart that's kind. But there's more. Be kind to one another, Paul says, and tender-hearted. Now, a helpful way to understand being tenderhearted is perhaps to look at the opposite, the hardened heart. A heart as hard as metal. The first person that comes to mind when I think of a hard heart is Pharaoh. Pharaoh in the Bible, Moses goes to him and asks Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And 9 times plagues are sent to soften Pharaoh's heart and let the people go. But we find out that hard hearts don't listen. Hard hearts don't bend. They don't give in and they don't try to understand anything. Now, tender hearts, on the other hand, they long to understand. And they're easily moved to love and compassion. Now, back to what Paul is teaching us. Westbridge, we will have our heart's density checked by hurt. It will happen. But the severity of the hurt is highly contingent on our heart's density, our heart's pliability. If we have hard hearts, metal hearts, when hurts come, metal hearts, hard hearts, get dinged. And it goes deep. If we are tender-hearted, on the other hand, hearts Paul's talking about here. If we are tender-hearted, if we develop hearts that are supple, softer, tender, then when 100-mile-an-hour hurts come at us, we take it. Soft, tender hearts allow hurts to be absorbed and evaluate them. I started my ministry life as a creative arts pastor. I love the arts, and I was hired as a programming director. I ran the entire production of the services at our Sunday morning service up in Bergen County. I loved the pastor, who was a young guy, very hip, very cool pastor, and he hired me. And we were going through our weekly program meetings where we would come up with a drama, we would come up with music, we did lots of special art things. And I would go to him afterwards and I would explain to him all the things that we had chosen inside of the service so that it would work with his message and just go over it with him. And I'll never forget, we had such a great relationship and he was always so kind and loving, accepting, really helped me move forward. And I remember the day I knocked on his door and coming from a program meeting, I said, "Hey, Steve, I just want to touch base with you on what we came up with at the meeting." It was like a 3-hour meeting. We just came up with all this good stuff. And he says, "Drew, get out. I don't care what you chose. I don't care what it is. Just go. Do whatever." I was blindsided. But that day, I had a tender heart. That day, I got it right. And I walked out of there thinking, something's up. Something's up. Within 2 weeks, Steve was gone. He had moved on. Things didn't go well. And I realized that wasn't about me. And that wasn't about our programming. Tender hearts. Gang, the Bible is telling us that we must avoid the massive trauma that will come at us, the dented hearts. We must avoid that. Instead, have catcher's mitt hearts. Hearts that are able to absorb a hurt, like telling you to get out of the office after you've designed the perfect service for him, because something's up. Lastly, next action step. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiving. Westbridge, we've talked about forgiving an awful lot in this room. Tonight, let me say this. Forgiveness is not ignoring wrongs. It's not ignoring them or even discounting the wrong. What forgiveness is, instead, forgiveness is choosing to get rid of the hurt and get rid of the wrongs, therefore eliminating all of the negative outshoots that can come from it. anger, rage, speaking bad about people, looking for revenge, having an ill will. Forgiving is choosing to say this: I will control this situation. I will not get a bad attitude for being kicked out of an office. This will not control me. I will control it. And I will do that by dispatching the offense, forgiving it, sending that offense away, catching it with a catcher's mitt heart and throwing it back as far as I can. The Bible tells us that when God forgives us, when He forgives our wrongs, He sends our wrongs as far as the east is from the west. I like that idea. And when I was talking back and forth with my friend Robert this week in China, we worked something out. We said, you know what? Our people have hurts. Our people have wrongs, and sometimes we've been hanging on to them. Sometimes we have dented hearts that need to become undented. They need to be pulled back out. So I said, Robert, how about if we let everybody take their hurt and send it as far as the east is from the west? How about if we put them in a box, write them down on a piece of paper, or if you can't write it down, just pray it on a piece of paper, put it in a box, and we send it to China. Robert says, well, you know, China isn't the other side of the world from Westbridge. You know what is? Australia. Robert's been there too. And he's got a friend, Umbapa Mau Mau, I don't know his name, I think it's close, who Robert contacted for me and for you. And we are going to take any hurt that you need to get rid of. And it's going as far as the east is from the west. It's getting mailed to our friend in Australia, who has promised to take it to a local dump and bury it there. You want to get rid of a hurt? Do you want to get rid of a wrong that's been done to you? You can't get it any further away than that. We thought it'd be nice symbolism for God removing it from our heart. The key to it is letting it go. I'm going to ask the band to come back. We're going to play one more song. And while they play, maybe you need to write something down, gang. Maybe you need another chance. Another opportunity, a chance to rewind the hurt that came at you and say, I want it to go. I'm getting rid of it. Your piece of paper is going to wind up in Australia in a garbage dump. You'll never find it. And God will help you take it out of your heart. So as the band plays, feel free at your convenience. Come down. Put your hurt in the box. It'll go as far as the east is from the west. All right. Good job. Hurts are going to happen, guys. People are going to hurt us. One hurt doesn't mean that that the friendship is over, that the relationship is gone. Hurts are going to happen. Our heart attitude needs to always be one of kindness. Someone like Melanie, who when a hurt comes her way, can repay it with kindness. Oh, sure, there's boundaries, there's things we have to work out to, but it's the mindset. Have a tender heart that can receive a hurt and not be destroyed by it. And a heart that's willing to forgive. These are gone. Over. Move on. You've chosen to send it away. Didn't lessen it. Didn't cheapen it. Didn't ignore it. Chosen to forgive it. It's like God chooses to forgive our sins. Westbridge, we've been powered up. Ready for a new week to go out there and serve our Savior. Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to thank you for all that you've done in and through our hearts. Pray that you'd continue to do that this week. Lord, as we've learned tonight, not to get into a default mode, a default mindset that is one of anger and resentment and bitterness and ill will and even revenge, but to go into a default mindset like we saw in a clip where someone can force themselves to be kind. Lord, let us realize hurts will happen. Maybe our name's in that box. Maybe our name was something someone had to let go of. Help us remember that, and help us to always forgive as you've forgiven us in Christ Jesus. Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands, asking you to take us through this next work week through the power of your Spirit. We leave ourselves in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. See you.